Well, we begin a new chapter or section and section in the Gospel of Matthew today, and chapter 13. And you'll see a marked difference in the way that Jesus is speaking, and you'll see some questions and answers, some of which we're going to deal with today, and there's a definite difference in how Jesus is speaking to the people beginning in this particular chapter. One of the things that we recognize here is that Jesus begins to speak to his people, or to the people, and to his disciples in parables. Now, parables are interesting because not everyone understands what Jesus is saying. And the disciples, of course, have questions because they are amongst those who don't fully understand what's happening and why Jesus uses parables. And I think I decided that as I'm looking at these, at this text, all the chapter of Matthew 13, which deals with a number of different parables, I want to start today with the section of Matthew that deals with the question that the disciples ask Jesus. But I'm going to read the first 23 verses because it gives context to what their question is. So follow along as I read, beginning with Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell in the rocky places, and they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So it's not hard to understand why the disciples had a question. They were looking at or hearing what Jesus was saying and wondering why Jesus was speaking this way, and they go to him and ask the question. So I'm beginning in verse 10 because that's where their question is asked. And like I said, you can't blame them for asking the question. Why are you speaking to them in parables? Why would Jesus give important information to the people that wouldn't be understood easily? Why do you speak to them in parables, they ask. But we also notice that it's not only the crowd that's having difficulty understanding, because the disciples wanted to know what he was saying also. They need some help with understanding. So let's talk for a minute about what a parable is. A parable is a story or an allegory or a proverb that is used to stimulate thought about a subject. It can also be used where there are two levels of meaning, such as literal and figurative, or literal and spiritual, which Jesus does often. And he uses both of those methods to make his points. Now, if you read through the fullness of chapter 13, we're going to see several parables, all of them dealing with the kingdom of heaven. So we will see clearly how Jesus effectively uses this method of communication. And depending on how you define a parable, you may think that a parable is only a New Testament idea. But I want to give you one example of an Old Testament parable, something that is familiar to you, but you may have not thought of it as a parable. You remember when the prophet Nathan confronts David about his sin. And so he did so, if you remember, using a story or a parable to illustrate his point, because he was trying to get David to think more deeply about the situation. Remember that David had sinned in multiple ways, including adultery and murder. The prophet tells David a story about a rich man who had large flocks, and a poor man who had one little ewe lamb. When the rich man was entertaining a visitor, rather than preparing a lamb from his own large flock, he stole the poor man's lamb. And you remember how David responded to that? He responded in anger, saying that the rich man deserved to die for what he had done. Nathan tells David that he was that rich man. And the story resulted in David's repentance of his sins. The prophet wanted David to take a serious look at what he had done. And Jesus, in his parables, wants you to think more deeply and respond more seriously to what he is saying. And thus he tells a story. So the disciples have asked the question, why parables? So let's see how Jesus answers that question. Verse 11, Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Now that's a pretty shocking statement. To you, the disciples, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, probably still has the Pharisees in focus, but it also, talking about the evil generation, the Pharisees and much of the crowd, to them it has not been granted. The mysteries of the kingdom have been opened up to just a few in this text, and specifically to the disciples. So what is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven that is being revealed to them? In the New Testament, the word is used to speak of things not revealed in the Old Testament because they're a mystery, but are now made known and being taught. Now, Jesus is the very best teacher, and he is giving his disciples the best view of what was previously unknown or not understood previous to his incarnation and his ministry. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from which God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now made manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The root of the mystery that is being spoken here, that is being taught here, is Christ himself. And who better to teach that truth? Who better to speak of the mystery than Jesus? He's standing in their presence and giving them truth. Paul says that this mystery is manifested to the saints, that is, the church. The church includes not just believing Jews, as we learn, but also Gentiles. And that is a truth for which all of us should be eternally grateful. The mystery, Paul says, is Christ in you. And all those who are following Christ are given this promise, the hope of glory. Not only are the Gentiles given access to Christ and his church, but they are also designated fellow heirs of Christ. Now that's a gift. That is a gift from God. Now Jesus continues in verse 12. He says, "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have in abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." Once we are able to understand the gift of God and his kingdom, we have been given keys that unlock far more wonderful truths. And to such a person, more and more will be made available. But what about the one who does not have knowledge of Christ? To that person, it only gets worse, for what he has will be taken away, Jesus says. Jesus goes on in verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." Now Jesus is pointing specifically here to a prophecy made by Isaiah in the sixth chapter of Isaiah. Let me read that to you. It comes in Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. "In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah was being fulfilled." You know, he's speaking of the people, the Pharisees and the crowd. "It's being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." Now, the quote that Jesus is using here comes from a time when God needed someone to speak to his people. There was evil in the camp. There was trouble with God's people. And Isaiah, after God talking about this to him, famously said, "Here am I, send me. Give me the message, God, I will take it." Now, I'm sure that Isaiah hoped that the words he spoke, God's words given to him that he would speak to the people, would result in the repentance of his people. But at that particular time and place, that's not what happened. God sent his people into a judgment of exile for the hardness of their hearts. And Jesus uses the experience of Isaiah and that prophecy, or as a prophecy, I should say, for this day. He says, in their case of the people to whom he speaks, that prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. People like the Pharisees, whom Jesus has already interacted with, are not only unwilling to follow Jesus, but they, as one commentator said, have anesthetized the hearts of their followers, muffled their ears, and closed their eyes to the works of the Lord. Remember that what Jesus says at one point about the Pharisees, that they are actually keeping people from coming to Christ. And of course, that's not what they were supposed to be doing, actually keeping people from following Christ. And because they have done this, the words of verse 14 will be true of them. You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. And as a result, Jesus is only going to speak to them in parables that they do not understand. Now, I think you can see that this is not a good answer for those who do not follow Christ. The good news, though, is that that's only part of Jesus' answer. He gives us more to think about. He alluded to this part of his answer in verse 10, but now he expands on it. And this is the good news indeed for us, because Jesus calls this part of an answer a blessing. Verse 16 and 17, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So do you see the blessing? Speaking to the disciples, Jesus tells them that they are able to see and to hear the truths in his teaching. Now, that might have been news to the disciples because they were asking a question like, we don't understand what's going on here. What are you trying to say? Well, they had to ask for an explanation, and we'll get into that, Lord willing, next week, one of those, that first parable. They didn't understand what they were hearing and seeing from Jesus. We know that as we follow their path as they follow Christ. But they were learning. They were absorbing a huge amount of information and brand new information. I mean, they were seeing things that were way beyond what they can imagine. But we know that they didn't understand fully what Jesus taught until after his resurrection. Just before his ascension, Jesus says this in Luke chapter 24. These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus tells them in our passage today that it had been granted to them to know the mysteries of heaven. He didn't tell them exactly when it was going to happen, but that it was going to happen. But as they listened to him speak after the resurrection and just before his ascension, their minds were opened up to understand what Jesus had taught them. Luke says it this way. And he said to them, thus it is written, that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. What is it that they fully and finally understood? Ultimately, it's the gospel. They understood why Jesus did what he did, and they understood why he said what he said. For the first time, they understood all those prophecies completely that Jesus had given about his death and resurrection. Things like, I must be lifted up, or this temple will be destroyed and rebuilt in 3 days. They finally understood what those words meant. And there are many more. Now they got it. And the time of this enlightenment is key as well. They're sitting in the presence of the one that they know with their own eyes and with their own experience was resurrected. They knew that Jesus died on the cross. They were in proximity. They weren't maybe right there, but they were in proximity. They knew he had been killed on the cross. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this one who had died on the cross, now sitting in their presence, had risen from the dead. This much they did know. But even so, they didn't know why it all had happened just yet, at least not fully. But now Jesus was opening their minds and they understood. I call this the ultimate aha moment. Now, I like aha moments. I like to watch them happen, and I like it when it happens to me. I love it when we're doing study of the Word and you can see when someone gets it. When you're talking to someone about the gospel and you can see the light come on. I get it. I understand. I finally understand. And I love it when I'm reading the Bible and God shows me a truth or a connection that I hadn't seen before, even though I'd read the passage many times. And I wonder to myself, how many times have I read this and missed this point? God is good that way, though, because he continually teaches us. And he gives the disciples that glorious aha moment. And it changed their lives, and it changed ours as well. In verse 49, Jesus says something that was true for the disciples and is true for every disciple that will ever follow Christ. Jesus says, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you." The promise of my Father. The promise is the promise of the Holy Spirit. We've already spoken of him in our worship. And there's a lot to talk about with when we talk about the Holy Spirit, more than is that we can do this morning. But I want to focus on what Jesus is telling his disciples. Not only has the Spirit of God been involved in their decision to follow Christ, but Jesus makes it clear that the Spirit will be involved in all that they do in the future. He tells them that they will now be able to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Those things are now opened up to them. Well, how is it that this happens? When the Spirit indwells a believer, that person is given the power to live for Christ. One of the great theological truths of Scripture is that when we come to Christ, when we truly give our lives to Christ, when we receive that forgiveness and we desire to follow him, the Spirit of God indwells us. God living in us. That's a wonderful gift and truth. So we know that it is true. What was true for the disciples is true for us. Not only did the Spirit of God bring us to God, but he also indwells us and helps us live for him. We've been given the power to live for Christ. Those disciples, were given the power to understand Jesus' words, and God used them to change the world, to write the very words that we read in the Word of God today. And here's some really good news. That blessing that was for those disciples is for everyone who follows Christ. That means for you as well. We are taught that the Spirit of God illuminates the word, the words of God. We read the word and we understand the word because the Spirit makes it possible for us to do so. This is what Jesus did for the disciples, and this is what he's doing for us today. Every time we open the word and we read it and we have that aha moment, or we have that sense that God is just speaking to our hearts that day in a very special and specific way. That's the Spirit of God doing his work, speaking to us just in a way that we need it. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. This is something that we need to understand even as believers. We say this, we talk about it often, when we say we should not expect unbelievers to act like Christians. We should not expect people to understand the Word of God the way that we do. And we're seeing the picture of that today. Well, why not? Why can't they understand it? Because they do not have the Spirit. They read the Word, they read the words, but it's nothing more than a book to them. It's nothing more maybe than history to them or poetry. And they wonder, they question. Paul says it's foolishness to them. They cannot understand them. So we should not expect them to understand them. But when the Holy Spirit sheds the light of understanding on his word, you can grasp what has been said. You can know the truth of the word. Now, I'm not saying that we get it immediately. Every time we read the word, we understand it completely. I'm not saying that we don't need to discipline ourselves to study. But what we do know is that the Holy Spirit will help us understand the word as we dig into it. A few verses earlier in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says this: "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, and even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." Praise God that we have been given the Spirit of God. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ have everything that we need to follow him. And any excuse we might make for following him as a certainly as a Christian, is on us. Because God's given us what we need if we are willing to listen and to follow and to be obedient. The very end of the Matthew passage that we're talking about today, I don't know if I put it in the outline here, but verse 17 is what Jesus says. He says, "For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Now, certainly as he speaks to the disciples, Jesus is saying, you know, they heard about me, but they didn't see me. They heard about the resurrection, but they didn't witness it like you did. But folks, we have the full story. We can look back and we can say, here's the prophecy and here's the fulfillment. We can look at that and say, this really happened. They predicted it and Jesus did it. They said this is what was going to happen and look, this is what happened. In similar way, we are seeing what they could not. And we are hearing what they did not. So I want to challenge you today as one of those who follows Christ to remember the gift that you've been given in the Spirit of God. He's given you the ability to understand the words. He's given you the ability and the desire to know Christ. And so let's remember the importance of that truth and the gift that that is for us. So when we pick up the Word of God, we know that He will help us understand it. Let's pray. Lord, we have the opportunity to read Your Word. We have the opportunity to understand it because of Your Spirit, because it's a gift from You. We totally grasp it. And I pray, Lord, that You will help us to be diligent in the Word of God, studying it, reading it, so that You can speak to us from its pages. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to gather and worship as we are able to do this morning. But we also know that this is not it. This is not all. The more we are in Your Word, the more we dig in to what You have to say to us, the more we can understand, the more we can grow and will grow in Your love and in our love for You. And we thank You for that opportunity given to us by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit who now abides within us. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.